Now, as our country's numbers continue to climb to record-breaking levels with each passing day, more and more people are also recovering from COVID. Simultaneously, all the shortage issue aside, we're also beginning to vaccinate everyone over the age of 18. Naturally, people are both getting infected and getting vaccinated. So how does that work? If a person gets COVID, when should they get vaccinated? If a person catches COVID in between two doses, when should they take the second dose? Or should they repeat the first dose? What if you miss the second dose? What if you get another disease and are recovering from it? Can you take the vaccine then? Can we measure our level of protection from antibody tests? In this video, we'll look at answers to all of these questions and more relating to vaccine timing and dosage and neutralizing antibodies. I'm Sandhya Ramesh, and this is Pure Science. So, first things first, let's understand what happens inside of our bodies when we either get the disease or get the first dose of the vaccine. We saw this in detail in the previous Pure Science video, but just to recap, when we get infected or get the first dose of the vaccine, our innate immune system kicks in first, and then the adaptive immune response comes into play. The adaptive response is the one that produces B cells and T cells, and B cells produce antibodies. There are five binding antibodies that we looked at, and of these, the IgM and IgG antibodies are more relevant for COVID. IgM antibodies get produced first and can be detected in people with active infections too, as it's the first antibody that gets produced. Production of these antibodies start about a week into the infection, peaks at about 3 weeks, and declines very quickly afterwards. About 3 weeks after infection, the IgG antibodies start to get produced. These are the more crucial antibodies to look out for long-term protection with most infections and vaccines. And these IgG antibodies climb in quantity from 4 to 8 weeks after infection. Subsequently, after that, they also do decline, but they do so very slowly in comparison to IgM. Now, blocking viral infection requires neutralizing antibodies, and we'll look at that a little bit more shortly, but what's important to remember is that the bulk of neutralizing antibodies, the ones that we want, are IgG antibodies. So this was sort of a rough summary of what happens inside our bodies after vaccination, after the first dose, or after natural infection. Why do we need a second dose if we're already producing IgG antibodies after the first dose? Well, it turns out that when we get a booster shot, as the name suggests, the levels of IgG antibodies rise and there's a stronger immune response. So the protection is greater. That's why we have two doses. First things first, do we even need to take the vaccine after recovering from COVID? Because obviously we have natural immunity and natural antibodies produced by the infection. But the answer to that is yes. Getting the disease, getting COVID, is akin to getting a vaccine shot. We know that when we take the second dose of the vaccine after a few days, the immune response improves. The exact same thing happens when we take a vaccine shot after getting an infection and recovering from it. The vaccine acts like a booster shot, with previously infected people making a very strong response with the first dose of the vaccine. I asked some of these common questions about vaccine doses and timing and gaps to noted immunologist and public health microbiologist Dr. Gagandeep Kang. There's also a text story about all this that'll be linked in the description below, where she has answered some of these questions. Remember, Dr. Kang also played a key role in the development and the rollout of the indigenous rotavirus vaccine. So, if you've recovered from COVID, when should you get the vaccine? Now, it's a question again of dose timing. The American CDC recommends that a person get vaccinated immediately after recovery, while the WHO states that a person should wait at least 6 months before getting vaccinated, as natural antibodies seem to likely persist in the human body until then. Waiting to get vaccinated after recovery not only allows others who've remained uninfected to receive their first dose, but it also improves immune response, allowing the body to build up the maximum natural immunity before getting a shot to further boost one's immune response makes a lot of sense. And the recommendation for vaccinating after recovery is to wait at least 4 to 8 weeks before taking the vaccine. In India, most doctors and these centers seem to recommend arbitrary gaps anywhere between 1 and 3 months after recovery to vaccination. We know that antibodies definitely last 3 months. They likely last 6 to 8 months, and many people think that from natural infection, in fact, antibodies can last over a year. But it's safe to wait for about 4 to 8 weeks after recovery to get vaccinated. And besides, after recovery, the body would still be responding to the infection, so vaccinating at that time would probably not be optimal. If you're asymptomatic and don't know you're infected, or are wondering what happens to the body if you get vaccinated while you're currently infected or are currently COVID positive, then the answer is we don't know what happens to the body. We don't know if the immune response will be better or worse if you get vaccinated during an active infection, and we also don't know if it's more safe or less safe. We just don't have the data yet. But we do know that definitely taking the vaccine after recovery is a good idea. So what if you catch COVID after you've taken the first dose but have not yet taken the second dose? First, how severe will the disease be? This, of course, depends on when the exposure to the virus occurred after the shot. We all know that we don't just grow protection overnight after getting a jab. It takes time for immunity to build up after vaccination. For a majority of people, the disease is likely to be mild or moderate depending on how many days after vaccination the exposure occurred. If exposure and the disease occurs within 1 to 3 weeks of receiving the first dose, the body has not yet had enough time to build up immunity. So the vaccine is unlikely to have a major effect, and it is not expected to modify the course of the infection. However, if a person tests positive after 3 weeks from the first dose, there is some immunity that's built up, and they are highly likely to only get a very mild disease. Once infected, the body starts producing antibodies, and of course, once again, it's effectively similar to just getting a vaccine dose. And once again, after recovery, the immune response will improve with the second dose. No matter when this dose is scheduled for, we should wait for at least 4 weeks after recovery to take the second dose. What if the second dose gets delayed, or you miss the schedule for the second dose because there is so much shortage now, or you decided to wait for 12 weeks for Covishield and then there's no stock of vaccines? It's no cause for alarm or worry just yet. We know the second shot is a booster dose. So if you don't take the second shot immediately within the given time period, all you're doing is simply postponing the boosting of your antibody and immune response. Pushing the second dose by a few weeks or even a few months is perfectly fine. It's not a big deal. It does not result in any loss of protection in the short term, and we don't need to repeat the first dose. We can simply just take the booster shot or the second dose whenever. Maybe if someone goes a couple of years without getting the second dose, they might need to take the first shot again. Of course, we think that one way we can check if we're protected is by getting antibody tests, which is fine, but the tests available in the market today don't actually give us the information that we're looking for. Remember, we mentioned neutralizing antibodies earlier. So there are two kinds of antibodies. One is binding or non-neutralizing, and the other is neutralizing. In the previous video, we saw that these Y-shaped antibodies go and attach themselves to the virus, crowding on the surface of the virus and then flagging other cells and macrophages to come and destroy the virus. IgM and IgG antibodies are binding antibodies which physically bind their Y-shaped structure to the proteins on the virus, and this flags other cells to come and destroy it. They can also attract natural killer cells to come and destroy cells that are infected with the virus. Binding antibodies simply act as markers and they may not interfere with the infectivity of the virus. But a subset of antibodies that are the neutralizing antibodies also bind to the virus, but they also prevent the virus from gaining entry into the human cells. They do this by preventing the virus from undergoing structural changes that are required to gain entry. At the moment, we do not know which antibody plays the role of protection against the virus, but it is of course likely to be neutralizing antibodies. However, we don't know that for sure, and we don't know what level of protection they provide. To identify what antibodies protect, we need to study breakthrough infections, which are infections after vaccination. We should then be able to study an absence of antibodies in these infections and then identify which one is the protecting antibody. Antibody tests on the market today measure IgM and IgG antibodies, which are also produced when the immune response is triggered, whether it's by a natural infection or through vaccination. We don't have a standardized neutralizing antibody test that tests the response after vaccination. So when we take antibody tests after getting vaccinated, or in fact even after getting the disease, these tests, they simply tell us that we've gotten vaccinated or we've gotten the disease. They don't actually tell us whether we are protected against future infections. Lastly, since we're talking about vaccines, let's also quickly address some concerns. Should you take the vaccine if you're allergic to any food or drug? Yes. There is no evidence right now that identifies any kind of allergy to a food or drug and associates it with the vaccine. The vaccine is safe for people with all kinds of food and drug allergies. Immunocompromised patients and those undergoing chemotherapy should also take the vaccines without any safety concerns. However, since they are immunosuppressed, they might not make as good an immune response as everyone else. The only people who should not take the vaccine are people who've already taken the vaccine and have had a severe allergic reaction to it. Should you take the vaccine if you're pregnant or are planning to get pregnant or are breastfeeding? Although there have been no results from trials for COVID vaccines, except for no safety signal from a small number of women who later found out that they were pregnant, large numbers of pregnant healthcare workers globally have taken the vaccine already and have not had any adverse outcomes. Based on data, it seems that all the currently available vaccines are safe for pregnant and lactating women. IgG antibodies also pass transplacentally, primarily in the second trimester and the beginning of third trimester, from the mother to the fetus. IgA antibodies also pass through breast milk to an infant and protect the gut and the upper respiratory tract. Maternal antibodies in kids protect for an age of about 4 to 6 months, after which their own body becomes much better at producing antibodies.